Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Think back to when you loved someone, even maybe it was your first love, maybe it was the first crush you ever had. And maybe you would walk down the halls at school, going way out of your way, hoping to bump into that person. Even though knowing maybe there was no response coming. You'd find ways to try to hook up or meet with them. You'd go out of your way. You'd drive past their house at night knowing it will do no good. Can you think back to how much you loved somebody that you couldn't think of anything else but the hope that somehow you were going to be together? Do you know that that is the way that I look at you? Do you know that that is the love of God for you? Do you know that I love you with such an intensity that I look always for you to look up at me? I am always looking for you to sit with me, hoping, even though I know maybe you're busy that day, maybe it'll be another day, maybe it'll be another week, but I always come by. I'm always hoping for that meeting. When I sat with Mary, and when she sat at my feet and she listened, that was the desire of my heart. And I said to her sister Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are encumbered by much serving. But really, only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen that better thing." Mary chose to sit with me that day. Mary chose to sit down and fellowship with me. And even if a word had not been spoken, we would have been in fellowship. Even if no words had passed between us, we would have been coming into oneness as husband and wife do. You understand? The whole picture of husband and wife is just simply my way of trying to tell the church that there's a place where you can join to me like you can to no other. There are some things that are reserved for God alone. There are some parts of your heart that are reserved for God alone. Would you yield these to another before you yielded them to God? I am asking you for your heart, not just your works. You work and strive. And many times you pray and read as though it were a duty. Oh, I've got to do my reading today. I've got to do my praying and my studying. That's okay. But what I long for is you, your heart. Gazing into your eyes, I'm looking at you. If you were to go on a date with somebody, would you pull out your notebook and take notes? Would you try to read enough to be good enough for the date? What I long for is fellowship. It is the purpose for which you were created. I created man for fellowship. And while I love all the things that you do for me and I appreciate all that, sometimes I just want to be with you. So for a time, put away some of the things that you do for me and spend that time with me. Now, I love when you do things for me. And in that season, I'll be delighted with all that. But for a time, put away all that you do for me. And for a season, just spend time with me. Because I want to pour myself into you. I want to pour into you the ability of God to do what you're called to do. Rather than you do it by striving or trying to be able to do it, I want you to wait on me and let me pour into you all the abilities that you don't have to do all that you can't do, so that when I do it through you, you will be amazed and so will everyone around you at the things that I do through you, because it will be us working in tandem. But you can't do that unless you do this. You can't do the works by grace unless you've spent the time with me. It's sort of like an appliance that's run out of a battery charge. how effective will it be? You have to plug it in and charge it. You have to. Or it will go along and go along and go along, and then it will fail. Because it cannot continually run without the charge. That's what I meant when I said, I am the vine and you're the branches. You cannot bear fruit unless you're hooked into me. Can't. Many of my branches have seceded from the union, so to speak. They've cut themselves off from the tree, so they have no nutrients, no water, and no food. And yet they lay on the ground, not knowing that they're dying because they've been separated from me for a time, trying to squeeze out a fruit and make it happen, as if somehow that would please me. Don't you get that you can't bear fruit without being fed by God? Don't you get that you can't bear fruit unless you're hooked into the tree? Because that's where all the water comes from. That's where all the nutrients come from the richness of the soil. So you must be hooked in. A tree branch does not worry about fruit. A tree branch does not try. It's all right, sweetie. That's okay. Not a problem. A tree branch does not worry about bearing fruit. It simply stays connected to the tree. And fruit is a natural byproduct. Leaves are a natural byproduct. And so there are some things that are naturally going to happen. Don't worry so much about your calling. Don't worry so much about doing all kinds of great and mighty things for God. Simply worry about being connected to me. And all those other things will happen as a natural byproduct of your communion with me. As you commune with me, it is a natural effect that growth will happen, fruit will be born, all kinds of things will happen. And you will be right in step with the seasons of God as the tree changes from one form to another, and as newness of life comes in the spring, you'll be right in touch with the seasons of God because you have stayed in God. That's why I said in my word, in Him we live and move and have our being. It was my desire that you never depart from my presence. The very thing that happened in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned was that they were separated from my presence. And that's when the trouble started. That's when the trouble started, when you're separated from my presence. That is when the trouble is started. And I am not condemning you. I want you to know my love for you. But my desire is for you to always, always, always come back to my presence, no matter what has happened. No matter what has happened, if you've gone outside my presence, come back. My arms are open wide every time, and I will take you back with no questions asked. No questions at all. That's why I put the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, so you would know that the father runs down the lane to meet you, even if you've messed up so bad that you think you could never come home. I want you to know the father runs to meet you. Doesn't ask questions about where you've been or what you've done. Simply calls for the best robe and the ring. Calls a party and a feast. My son is home again. That's the nature of God. And my people have not known it and have not understood it because religion has told a lie that God is angry. You must understand that I wait in the lane every day and look for my sons to come home. Every day I wait in the roadway and I look for those to come home. Come home to me. Come home to me. And I long for my people to go and get them. Go out in the highways and the byways and get them. I don't care if they're lame. I don't care if they're blind. Bring them all. Go find them. That my Father's house might be filled. This is the love of God. This is the desire of my heart. This is the love that I have for humanity. It never ceases 24 hours a day. It never ceases that I wait with bated breath for people to come back to me that I might embrace them, no questions asked, to bring them into the kingdom and nurture them and heal them and bring them into who they are in Christ. That is the desire of my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is calling us to gaze up, to gaze at Him, to gaze into His presence all the time. Things that you worry about will take care of themselves if you will take care of this. The things that you fret over, often God will just take care of them if you will spend your time with Him. Time is like anything else. If you sow time to God, God will take care of the rest of your time. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, so will he also reap. If you spend time with God, even when you don't have it, God will take care of everything else. He will take care of your needs. He will take care of you. God desires to show you a new way of living, a new way of life, an entirely new way of walking through your life on planet Earth. He desires to show you a method that is high above the human method for serving God. The human method for serving God, while, you know, it's not bad, praise the Lord for anybody that wants to serve God, we do the best we can, but there's a higher way. And what has happened, and I'm going to try to word this right, is that religion has taught us to do it by our own ability and to try and basically fail, try and fail, try and fail, try and fail, then feel crummy, go and ask for forgiveness, receive the forgiveness, and go on and try and fail again. You know, we're supposed to love people, so we try to love them. You know, we bake them bread. We try to come up with natural ways to do it, but there's a higher way. And what God would have us do is to learn how to do it in Him, Him doing it through us, rather than us trying to do it for Him and never quite being able to do it, because there does not exist in our human flesh the ability or the capacity to do the works of God. It doesn't exist in our flesh, because the Bible says in our flesh dwells no good thing. It's by His Spirit that lives in us. And so to the degree that we are able to come into that place of oneness in working with the Holy Spirit of God to do the works of God, in other words, it's no longer me but Christ who lives in me, now Jesus Christ is doing the works through us, leading us, teaching us, speaking through us, witnessing to people through us, doing the works of God that we could never do before. That's the grace of God. The grace of God is His ability to do through you what you could never do in your own ability. The grace of God will shed the compassion of God into your heart to love people you could have never loved. People that would normally be impossible to love, God can do a compassion in your heart so that you love them. Truly love them. Truly care. And only God can do that. Only God can pour out His love in us to make us like Jesus. Only He can do it. So why do we try to do it ourselves? Why do we try to continually achieve the works of God without doing it by the Holy Spirit? Because really what that is religion. And it's failed and failed and failed. We've tried to do all these things, and it's good that we tried, hallelujah, but there's a better way. And so all God's trying to do is get us to think in a new mindset, to come into a new place where we comprehend that His intention was never, ever for us to try to do it in our own strength or own ability. And so what I believe God would have us do is not only ask Him at every turn, at every decision, at every question, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? Holy Spirit, teach me how to speak. Holy Spirit, teach me how to enter into your presence. Teach me how to worship Jesus. He is our teacher. The Bible says you have no need that any man should teach you because you have the Holy Spirit of God. He was sent to lead you into all truth. The reason for the Holy Spirit, the reason He came and lives here is to help you come into a place where you're in Him, worshiping Jesus, in Him witnessing for Christ, in Him preaching the gospel, in Him being kind to people, in Him doing those same works, but all in Him and not in your own strength. And amazingly, the thing that He will give you the ability to do, He will later reward you for having done it, though you had no ability in yourself to do it. And so a real walk of God and a real life of God is a life that is lived in the presence of God, doing the impossible every day, seeing God do the miraculous through you and saying, how did that happen? Wow, God, I didn't have any ability to do that, but look what you did. And knowing, just like the Bible says, you know, when a person works all day, they don't come and say, look what I did. They say, you know, I'm just a servant. I really wasn't worthy to even do this. That's how it'll be. The things that we see that God managed to do through us in spite of us, at the end of the day, we're going to say, wow, you know, really, I was just a servant. I can't imagine how you managed to do that through me, God. And yet, that's what God desires, is to do great and mighty and powerful and endless and limitless things through you. And it's to the degree that we are able to embrace this lifestyle, that's the degree to which your Christian life will prosper. That's the degree to which your Christian life will be successful and have fruit. So it's all about what you do in Him, what He is able to do through you. But He will never make you. People think that God's going to come on them with a lightning bolt and just cause them to do things by the anointing, and it doesn't work that way. He waits for people to yield themselves. And He waits for yielded people to yield every area. Because the areas that you yield to Him, He'll fill. And if there's other areas where you haven't yielded to Him or asked Him for His opinion, He won't make you. He'll let you go on. I've seen God let me go on incorrect in something for a long time until I finally asked. And then He would tell me the truth, and then I would fix it and say, well, why did you take so long to tell me? He'd say, well, you didn't ask. You didn't ask. Boy, that bothered me. I'd be like, well, tell me anyway. So now I've taken to saying, if I'm wrong in any area and I can't see it, do whatever you have to do to show it to me. Correct me. I don't care what you have to do. Correct me until I get it. Because I don't want to go on. You know, I don't want to do the long, hard way. Thank you. I've done that. I want to find what the word of the Lord is on every situation. Because what I've seen is every area that you're able to hear from God accurately and follow His leading, whatever way you hear from God, whether it's through a scripture, whether it's through an unction from the Holy Spirit, whether it's a word, when you are able to hear from the Lord accurately and act on that, in that area you've yielded to the Holy Spirit, and to the degree that you follow through with what He wants to do, you will see the manifestation of God. When you see a healing, it is because somebody has followed the leading of God. When you see people healed, when you see people things changed, when you see the glory of God, if you watch close, somebody somewhere has heard a word of the Lord and obeyed it. It may have been a prayer warrior who felt the Lord give them a word to speak in the prayer closet. More things are wrought in prayer by people who listen and speak the word of the Lord in the prayer closet. Because He has allowed us to ordain things in the place of prayer. He said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Are you taking your authority? He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, are you doing it? Now, so what happens is when we step into that place, we're called to so much. God has given us unlimited access to find victory in so many areas. And the reason we don't is we don't think we can. We don't think we can, or we think it's all on Him to do it. God won't do it without you. We want God to just do it. God won't. We think God should just show up, fix our troubles, and move on. He doesn't do it. He is looking for us to do certain things. He has given us authority to do certain things, and He expects us to do it, and especially older Christians. He expects more from older believers. He was telling me the other day, he said, would you teach the same thing to an eighth grader that you would teach to a first grader? No, of course not. Would you teach the same thing to a person that's going for their PhD than you would teach the eighth grader? No, absolutely not. You expect more from someone that's come higher and worked harder and come to grasp all the foundational principles. That's why Paul said that we leave behind the foundational principles of the faith and we go on. Because there's things we learn as we grow. And as you grow in God, God is looking for you to begin to take the reins of authority and do more. God is looking for us to come into that place. Some people stay babies all their life and die babies. Their option, but why would you? Some people go through their entire life and pass away never having gone past the first tenets of the faith, meaning I'm saved by grace, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved and I go to church. Yay, I'm glad you're getting in, but what you could have done with your life? What could we do with our life if we really understood all that God has opened up for us? When Jesus died on that cross, He opened up heaven. He opened up infinity. He opened up every manner of thing, handed it to us, but we have to not only believe that we can do it, we have to do what it takes to do it. And the number one thing is that time with Him and listening to Him. So in every area, every decision that you come up upon, whether it's great or small, spend the time with God. Spend time with God. Find out what He wants to do with it. He'll turn your situations around. Some of the situations you have in your life that are trials, God has a solution. And He's been sitting on that solution for months, waiting for you to ask Him how to fix it. And you spinning your wheels trying to do this and trying to do that, and finally you're going to frustrate yourself enough that you're going to say, okay, God, why won't this work? What, you know, now that I've exhausted everything else, I'm coming to you. You know, some people actually believe God doesn't want them to come. There are actually people who believe God doesn't want them. Oh, I don't want to bother God, wringing their little hands. Oh, Fred, God doesn't want me to come with my little issues. It's just, you know, because it's just little me. Are you kidding? He died for that. I think it grieves Him when we don't. I think it grieves Him when we don't come to Him with things small and great. I go to Him with everything. If I have a stubbed toe, I go to God. If I have a small decision, I want to go to God. And what bugs me is the times that I sometimes forget. Sometimes I just go ahead and do something, and then I realize later when it doesn't come out right, oops, I forgot to ask God about that. To the degree we go to God and get His mind and His heart on it, that's the degree where we'll see things happen. God has opened up all of eternity for us to do things on this earth. And the number one thing He wants us to understand, especially in this year, 2007, what He told me, He said, he was talking to me about the theme. This is really funny because I had read about a man who is so, he's very young, he's in his early 20s, and he's real brilliant in economics. And all these older guys gave him an award, and they pulled him in. They're all like Harvard and Yale and Stanford and all these guys. And they brought him in and they said, what is your unifying theme? He said, I don't know. I don't have a unifying theme. I just observe things. And for some reason that caught my attention. I began to ask the Lord, is there a unifying theme to what, first of all, to what you're saying to humanity? And second of all, to what my life is about? Is there one theme? You know, some people, maybe their theme is healing. That's their thing. That's what they do. They talk about healing, they teach healing, they get people healed, that's their thing. And I was speaking to the Lord about that, and last night He was talking to me, and He said the first half of 2007, the number one theme of what you'll say, He said, this isn't your main theme for life, but this is the theme for 2007, is get people to take the limits off their thinking. Get them to take the cap off, the ceiling off of the way that they think about themselves and their calling and what they will do on this earth. Because they have limited their life by their thinking. Many people were raised to doubt their own ability. They were told all their life, you can't, you never will, you're slow, you're stupid, whatever. Some people are told all their life that they never will be able to. So they take that on and believe it, and it becomes a religion to them, and it fights them at every turn. But it is contrary to the Word of God, which says, I can do all things. So how many things can you do in Christ Jesus? All things. I want you to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. What God is trying to do is remove the doubts. You know, whether you know it or not, your mind is like a little swing door. Constantly taking in thoughts and saying yay or nay, all day long, all night long, yay or nay. And many thoughts come to you from the enemy, or from your own soul, or from other people, or even you may have been programmed. And a lot of times God is trying to suggest to you the possibilities of what you can achieve, not you, but Him through you. And that trap door in your mind is going, nay, nay, nay. Oh, not me. It's just me. That's for someone great like so-and-so. Well, why not you?
Amen.
Because God doesn't need someone great. Believe me, He's not looking for someone great. He's looking for someone. He specializes in using the unusable. That's His big thing. He loves that. He loves to take people that are completely unusable. That's why He loves to use the former drug heads, the former prostitutes, the former pimps. He loves it. God thrives on that. That's the thing. He loves to take people that are hopeless cases. If He can do that with them, why can He not do that with us? You know, I grew up in suburbanite Wheaton. You know, can anything good come from Wheaton? And I grew up in a very, I call it a P.E.O. home. I better edit that out of the tape, I suppose. Where everything was just so, you know. My mother, you see, I did not inherit that gene, but my mother was very, you know, our house was house beautiful, it was always clean, and I just thought houses were clean. You know, it just never occurred to me she was doing all that. I just thought they were clean. And so imagine my surprise when I got older. Oh, thank you. Imagine my surprise when I got older and moved into a house and it didn't stay clean. What's this about? What's it? How does a cobweb get in the corner that you never go in? No one goes there, no one touches it, and it gets dirty by itself. Explain that to me. So I grew up in Wheaton, and I had all these mindsets and luggage and baggage in my thought system. And what God is trying to do is open up possibilities to you and remove limitation thinking. What if you are the one? What if you are the one that will preach the gospel in some other country? What if you are the one that will write a book? What if you are the one that God will give songs? You say, I don't have that ability. I don't either, dude, but God gives me songs all the time. I have zero ability to do half of what I do every day because I'm not doing it. And it's when we are able to go to God. To me, this is the throne of grace. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. This is the throne of grace. Every day I go to the throne of grace many times a day, and I'm, you know, in the spirit, I'm on my knees saying, God, I have zero ability to do this thing that is before me, but You have 100% ability. You do it through me. Or You do it for me, or You show me how. And I watch God do it. And I watch God do miracles day in and day out and say, wow, how did God do that? There is something God wants to do in you that everybody can see. It really wasn't you at all. That everybody will be able to say, wow, look at God move. Anybody in the new covenant... Anybody in the new covenant is able to hear from our God, receive a word from Him, receive abilities from Him, receive giftings from Him, change the people around them. There isn't a person in the new covenant, meaning a person that's been born again, that has had that relationship transaction with Jesus Christ. Everyone qualifies, from the greatest to the least. And I'm convinced that what makes the greatest, isn't that they were really the greatest. It's because they had the courage to believe Him for more. They had the courage to say, you know, I can't do it, but I believe that God can. Smith Wigglesworth couldn't read or write. He was a plumber. He couldn't, his wife had to teach him how to read. And when God told him to quit and do the work of the ministry, he said, okay, God, I will, but... if I get holes in my pants from them wearing out, I'll go back to plumbing. And he began to preach the gospel. His wife Polly helped him to do his first sermons. And his life, we're still reading about him today. I mean, his life as an example of what God can do through somebody who believes. I mean, we're still reading about it today going, wow. And here's the mistake. We've said, ooh, Smith Wigglesworth, he was so anointed. Now, you know what? He had the guts to believe God. He had the nerve to believe that the Word of God was true. And that if it says these signs shall accompany those who believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover, well, by golly, then that's what I believe. And that was the difference. That's what he believed. And yes, the anointing began to follow him because the anointing follows faith in his word. The anointing doesn't just fall on you because you're so nice or God loves you so much. God loves everybody. Why are some people more anointed? I think it's because they've changed their thinking and believed the Lord.
Amen.
I was laying in my bed a few years ago and I was frustrated over why I wasn't seeing a breakthrough. God had promised me a certain, bear with me, but the way he promised it to me years ago was he showed me a cross and a resurrection in my own life. He showed me a cross, a time of difficulty, but that it would yield a time of resurrection. Well, we went through the cross, all right. That was horrible. Not fun. Lasted years. Hated the whole thing. And then some years went by and it kind of ended and there we were. Hello. Where's the resurrection? You know, I didn't see anything coming out of it. And I was kind of frustrated with that. And I know what God had promised me. I knew his word was true, but I was pretty frustrated. And I laid in my bed one day. And I was like, God, I just don't get it, you know. I mean, this has been going on for years. We're talking about years here. What is up? And he said, you have not extended faith to me for that. So when you want to raise someone from the dead, you have to believe it. Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I'm laying it down and I'm taking it up again. He believed in his own resurrection. He spoke it ahead of time and believed it. And he said to me, if you want me to do something, you better go to believing I'm going to do it. And so I said, okay, I'm going to change my... I repent. Because I've been whining about it, see? Whining, which used to be my specialty, is believing God that he is not going to keep his word. And I used to be the queen prize-winning whiner of all time. I did. I just really... It really ticked me off that God hadn't kept his promises to me. Whine, whine, whine. But God began to teach me to think differently. And here's the crux of the matter. If you can change your thinking, if you can, and it's just a simple form of repentance. Lord, you know, you're right. I was kind of negative. I wasn't believing you. I was basically, what I was doing, I was calling God a liar. You said you were going to do this for me and you didn't do it for me. See, I didn't come out and say it, but I was calling him a liar, really, in effect, by my behavior and by my whining and complaining. But God began to cause me to think differently and say, you know what, I don't see it. It doesn't look like there's anything happening, but I'm going to choose to believe that you are who you say you are. You do what you've promised you'll do, and therefore, even though I haven't seen it yet, you are going to do this. And I believe you for that. And then God spoke to me. He said, before the end of this coming year, this was like a New Year's Eve. He said, before the end of this coming year, you will see this, this, and this. And he began to tell me all that I would do. And I was like Sarah in her tent. I wanted to burst out laughing because it was so impossible for me to see those things at that point. It was so not in keeping with our life. And by the end of that year, I saw every single thing that he said. But he wouldn't have done it if I would have gone on for 5 more years not believing him. I'd have gone on 5 more years and not seen it. He was waiting for me to get with the program. And here's the thing, maturity, sometimes we think God should just do it, and immaturity is believing that he just should, and we stomp our foot and we say, oh, I want my way, and I'm mad because I don't get it. And that was me. I was immature way too many years. Way too many years. Maturity is being able to say, you know what? God's thinking, his ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. I'm going to choose to believe that he's right and I'm wrong. And I need to get over myself and put my thinking that is wrong, put it away and accept the truth. If he said it's this way, whether I get it or not, whether I see it or not, whether I understand it or not, and begin to live that way. And what I begin to see is that releases the work of God. That releases the move of God. That releases the resurrection power of God, which really won't be released any other way. So God is calling us to completely dedicate our mind to him, dedicate our thoughts to him, and become very pliable, become like putty in the hands of God. When you read the Word of God, or when God speaks something into you by the Holy Spirit, when he speaks something to your soul, you know, we need to become pliable like putty and bend. You know, if it disagrees with what we think, you know, we need to put our opinion of the on the altar. We need to put down what we think. Sometimes the reason we don't see a miracle is because our opinions are so strong. We know how it should be. By golly, I went to Bible school and this is how it is. I don't care what you say, God. I went to Bible school and this is what it says. But there's a time when we need to crucify even our own opinions and our own thoughts and even things that we think we know about God from past experiences. Sometimes something happens to you and you form a wrong doctrine based on it because God doesn't... I'll give you an example. Somebody doesn't get healed, so you say, well, God doesn't heal anymore because I was hurt because I had a bad experience and someone died and I can't explain it any other way. But we need to be honest enough to say, well, okay, maybe I don't know. If maybe I don't know what happened. Maybe I screwed up. I don't know. Maybe who knows what. But what do you say, God? You tell me what to think. Because when we transform our mind with the washing of water of the Word, we will change everything about the way that we behave, the way that we speak, the way that we ordain things. Because, you know, when you speak something that's a truth that God has given you, you're actually bringing it to pass. That's faith. If that wasn't true, how could Jesus curse the fig tree? And then tell the disciples that they could do the same, speaking to a mountain. He said to that fig tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Boom. By the next time, the next day when they walked by, that thing was dead. Not just dead on the inside, it was visibly, outwardly dead so that they could see it. Now the disciples are a little bit taken aback. Who is this guy? What's going on? He said for this thing to die and it's dead already. Jesus said, surely I say to you, whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's radical. But if you come to understand the authority that God has given you, God is what God wants to do is to lead you what to speak to by the Holy Spirit. Not to just go along and in your own flesh and say, you know, I want this and I want that and I don't like that guy, so boop, you know. What he's trying to do is get you to understand that he has given you and is giving you authority as you speak the word of the Lord. He wants to give you what to say in the prayer closet. The reason the prayer closet is so important, God is calling people into prophetic intercession. Prophetic intercession basically means prophetic is you hear from God what to say, and intercession is you're saying it or speaking it into the earth as though you're speaking to the mountain to be removed. There may be things God wants done on the earth, but he needs a human mouth to speak it. So he borrows yours. And we say, well, God's sovereign, he can do anything he wants. Yes, he's sovereign, but in his sovereignty, he chose to use mankind to speak certain things. That's why he sent prophets to speak forth things, to speak them out. That's why when somebody, I've given this example before, but we have some new people, so I'll give it again. Catherine Kuhlman would have healing meetings and enormous numbers of people would come. And she would stand on the platform and she would point and say, someone in the balcony right now is being healed of, and she would name it. And the person was instantly healed. Nobody laid hands on them. They were healed. Now, I believe that God gave her the word to speak, which was a word of knowledge. But as she spoke it, it really was no longer Catherine, but Christ who lived in her. Because she was faithful to speak it, Jesus Christ was speaking through her. And when he says, let there be light, there is. And as she was faithful to speak the words of God, the healing power of Christ healed that person, just like in the day when Jesus walked the face of the earth in his mortal body and touched people's ears and touched people's tongue and touched people's eyes. If she had not spoken those words, the guy would not be healed. Jesus, prophetic intercession is exactly that. You do not have to be in front of somebody to change things, but you do have to hear from God. Now, there's times when we'll ask God to do something and he'll do it. that's prayer, and that's another thing, and that works too. But prophetic intercession is this. You go into a prayer closet with God, or maybe you're with somebody. And I've seen many, many healings this way. Many. You simply wait on God, Lord, what do you want to do? He might show you something to say, something to do, touch him on the shoulder, ask him a question about forgiveness. Could be anything. You do what he says to do, and the thing is released. Well, what has happened? God has interacted with their life through you. And you were like the interchange. Because the Holy Spirit in you, they are being allowed to interact with God through you, and this is a honor and a blessing to be the guy in the middle. But really, we don't get any real credit because it's all God. It's a privilege. And it's also a blast, by the way. When you're able to stand with somebody that's got a struggle or a problem they've struggled with for a long, long time, and you're able to touch them and just listen in and have God say, you know, touch them in the back here. Now, everybody works in this differently, but with me, I tend to see in my mind's eye kind of what God wants to do. And I've seen God heal people that way. With Edgar, it works a little differently. With you, it probably works a little differently. But the point is that God wants to interact with people. God doesn't intend for people to go on for years and years in their trouble and their struggles, frustrated, wondering why God doesn't come through. God wants to help people. He's always looking for ways to help people. He's always looking for someone that'll be an intermediary. You know, Paul said he wanted to make up what was lacking in Christ's afflictions. That's odd. How could anything be lacking in Christ's afflictions? God is looking for people to stand in the gap, to be a go-between, whether it's to preach the gospel, to reach someone's heart. You know, sometimes people won't accept Christ because they have a little blockage of a thought. You know, they're mad at God because of whatever. Sometimes God will reveal that to you so that you can free them from it and release them to become saved. People are in bondage for a reason. That's why it talks about a strong man. Who can take the strong man's good unless you first run to the strong man? Sometimes God will show you what the strong man is over somebody's life. You take care of that thing, they're released, and it's easier for them to come to Christ. Many times God will release somebody from a sickness just by giving you the key. He loves to interact with people, and you're the intermediary. And what I believe God is saying is, remove all the limits from the way that you think and begin to think, I'm the one God's going to use. And ask him what he wants to do with your life, because it's beyond what you know. Even when you know you're called, even when you know for sure that you're called with a calling, he still reveals to you more. And as you do that, he reveals to you more. And as you do that, he reveals to you more. And I believe it's infinite because, as you know, he who is faithful over a little will be given stewardship over much. So as you walk in what you're called to do today, he gives you more if you're faithful in it. So there's no limit or end to what you can do for God. The only limit is the way that we tend to think in our earthly nature and time. If we let the days slip by, let the years slip by, and we aren't asking and aren't seeking and aren't knocking, then we can lose out on the time frame. You only really get one shot at this. And that's why spending time every day is a crucial thing.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.